Well, this time yesterday, Alec, it wasn't a very good evening because Ireland had lost by 57 points to 15 against England at Twickenham in the World Cup warm-up match. It was interesting to note that 24 hours before that, we were talking about if Ireland was to win, they would go to the top of the world rankings heading into the last of the warm-up games before the World Cup. But they were so far off the boil in that game yesterday. It was very, very, very disappointing.
Yeah, this rankings won. I mean, Wales were in a similar position when they took on England the week before. Sometimes I think it gives teams maybe the wrong impression, because at the end of the day, I think I don't think too many people argue at the moment that New Zealand would still be number one. But yesterday, Oisin, it's hard to say. It was an embarrassing day all round, and certainly, you know, from the word go, nothing seemed to go right. The fact that Healy got the injury as well didn't help. Conor Murray got off with what looked quite a serious head injury. So at the moment you have your world-class halfbacks, Johnny Sexton and Murray, you know, at the moment. How are they? Johnny Carby, I mean, he's a doubt, and they think he might be ready for the second game when they get to Japan. But really, it's not the situation they want. Yesterday really was a disaster, especially in the forwards. The line-out, I mean, best in the first half. There was, I think, four overthrows. It got no better in the second half. The scrum was slightly under pressure, but I noticed Joe Smith said they fell up 35 tackles. I mean, that is quite incredible, you know, in a game. And certainly, you know, the players, certainly I noticed this morning, have taken a lot of stick from a lot of the scribes. But to be honest with you, I think there has to be a question mark against the management as well, you know, because, I mean, that line-out, I couldn't believe that Simon Easterby had been working with those guys for 4 weeks. I'm sure, as you noticed, on about three or four occasions, Ireland were running up and down the line-out, and I don't think they knew where the ball was going, whereas when you watch the England line-out, the ball came in, and Lifter got the ball, and out it went. Simple. This running back and forward in the line-out, it must be absolutely chaotic for the hooker.
It's not a case that Ireland wasn't showing all their cards yesterday, Alec. They were just that bad, and I know they were missing a number of key players as well, but we didn't think that they would be that poor.
No, as I say, I mean, you know, I appreciate what you're saying. I can't believe that Smith wasn't trying to do something in the second half. I mean, it doesn't get any easier because they have back-to-back games against the Welsh. The problem is that the first game against the Welsh is at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, and that is not going to be easy. Had it been the Aviva Stadium, it might have been slightly easier. All right, that's going to be the last game. But by that stage, possibly, we don't know what's going to happen next week in that Welsh game. But generally speaking, overall, it was a terrible performance. Defensively, they were all at sea. I mean, there was times where players didn't seem to know where it was. In England, when they did move the ball wide, it just looked as if they could score near on all occasions. And really, at international level, Oisin, to concede 8 scores is something that doesn't happen very often.
Is it worrying now ahead of the World Cup, Alec? Can a result like that affect morale and how the feeling is in the camp? I know they've still got Wales to come, and if they were to pull off maybe a result, a good strong performance and a good strong result there against Wales in the next two games. But it's going to have some sort of effect, is it?
Well, it has, Oisin. You know, the game against Italy, while, you know, it wasn't their strongest side, again, there was a lot of mistakes made in that Italy game, as you know. Yes, it was the first game back from training, but these guys have spent 5-6 weeks, you know, honing all their skills. And really, you know, I go back to the Six Nations this year, and I remember being over at Murrayfield at the game where I just about beat Scotland. And I remember saying, from my point of view, I felt that Irish rugby had gone back 18 months. And I believe that. And if you think of what happened in the Six Nations this year, it was pretty average. Maybe they peaked a year too quickly when they won the Grand Slam. Maybe there's a few of the players over the hill. Maybe the Toners, the Bess and O'Mahony's, maybe they should have made way for younger players. But it's too late now. He has to stick with the tried and trusted. But it's not going to be easy because, I mean, the first game is against Scotland. And, I mean, Scotland yesterday, after being absolutely pummeled the week before 35-0, they turned around yesterday and beat France 17-14. So they're back on track. Whereas Ireland must win against Wales next week. Otherwise, that last game at the Aviva, Oisin, who knows what could happen.
Yeah. Well, away from the international scene, there's rugby starting up now in the next couple of weeks, Alec, here in the Northwest, involving the sides who will all be looking to get off to good starts in the respective competitions, and it all gets underway next weekend.
Yes, next weekend, the First Trust Ulster League gets underway with City of Derry and Omagh. They're in Division 2, Rainier in Division 1. And then there's a week for the Cup, and that continues virtually until the end of September. And then because of the World Cup, the All-Ireland League, it begins in the first Saturday of October. So obviously those sides will be building in that. The league is usually, the teams use that sort of to get their squads ready for that sort of thing. Of course, the same will apply as well in the other group, in the Rugby Championship 1, 2 and 3. Limavady, they're in 2, and then in 3 we have Letterkenny, Stephan, Monaghan, Cavan, Virginia, all those teams. And they all start next Saturday, and that's their first, because there's 11 or 12 teams in that league, so there's quite a considerable amount of games to be played, plus cup games and all. But, you know, I suppose that with the World Cups, everybody will be sort of building for that as well. But from the club point of view, we like to think that the teams will go well. I mean, City Derry last year just about hung on, no more. Omagh were quite clear up in fifth position. Rainey, they got promotion, and it's hard to believe that Rainey, who were with Derry 2 years ago, are now two divisions ahead of them in Division 2A, Omagh and City of Derry in Division 2C. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot for the coaches to do. Apparently there's a lot of players have changed hands. You hear all these stories, and really it takes about 1 or 2 weeks to know who's actually playing with who. But certainly, I mean, with the Division 2C, the one that City of Derry and Omagh, and that's going to be really interesting, Oisin, because the two teams that have come up, who won both the playoffs and the runners-up spot, Enniscorthy and Clonmel, I'm led to believe that from what I've heard, that they are as good as anything that's in Division 2C last year. So that's going to increase. It also means a lot more travel for the two North West sides. But nevertheless, when you're in these leagues, you have to put up with that.